Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Samed Chdalet, the 64th Perek. This is a very difficult Perek to understand. The words are difficult, the poetry is ambiguous, and we're going to do our best to kind of unpack it as best we can. There are basically three sections to this perek, and we're going to look at each one individually. The first section is Psukim Aleph to Gimel, the first three Psukim, and it deals with the miracles of the past and our hope and potentially our prayer that we continue to see those miracles or perhaps see them once again in the future. Pasuk Aleph reads as follows. Kikdoach esh hamesim mayim tiv'e esh. Just as the kindling of a melting fire, fire which bubbles and water and boils water. Lehodia shimcha letzarecha, to make your name known to your enemies. Mipanecha goyim yirgazu, before you nations will tremble. What are we dealing with here? There's multiple opinions. Let's look at some. Rashi says, we're talking about the plague of Barad. It's interesting because Yeshayahu makes reference to the plague of Choshech, darkness. He speaks about Mitzrayim in various other forms. But here we're honing in on the moment in Yetziat Mitzrayim, in the Exodus story, when hailstones come down. Why? Because we know that the hailstones were essentially water-based hailstones with a burning fire in the middle of them. And this is the fire which melts the water on the outside. And we're asking Hashem as a prayer, just as you made miracles like that happen in the past, so too we want Hashem to continue to do that for us in the future. Targum Yonatan says the fire and water here is talking about Eliyahu Hanavi. If you recall from Malachim, on Har Carmel, Eliyahu makes a miracle, that fire comes down from heaven and fizzles up and eats up all the water which has been poured around Har Carmel. So there again, the fire for eating up the water. The Abarbanel has a very different reading. He says this is talking about Har Sinai, the Mount Sinai experience. And thus, this pasuk is not a tefillah like Rashi. For the Abarbanel, this pasuk is a rhetorical question. In other words, what we're saying is, Hashem, when you made fire come down, when you made crazy miracles happen on Mount Sinai, did you do it lahodia shimcha letzarecha, to make your enemies know your names? Did you do it for nations to tremble before you? No, of course not. You did it for us, your people. So why would you leave us languishing out in Galus, out in exile, waiting for you endlessly, if the whole purpose of everything, the whole purpose from the beginning, from Mount Sinai, was for us to develop a relationship with you? Then why have you abandoned us out here in exile? And so Pasuk Beis continues, Ba'asotcha nora'ot lo nekaveh, you did miracles for us that we couldn't have even begun to hope for. And so that it says that we didn't deserve those miracles. Yaradata mipanecha harim nazolo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you descended upon mountains that melted before you. And even for Rashi here, this is a reference to Mount Sinai. Look what you've done for us. We have so much history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a history with you, Hashem, that you have with no other people. That's what Pasuk Gimel says. Ume'olam lo sham'u lo he'ezinu. No one has ever heard, no one would have dreamed of such miracles that you did for us. Ayin lo ra'asa Elokim zulatecha. No other God has performed for their people what you did for us. And who did he do those miracles for? Ya'ase l'mechakelo. He did it for those who awaited him. Once again, reinforcing this idea that we have a special bond with Hashem. And thus we shift from part one of this perek, which is a focus on the past miracles, to the challenging of the present times. And the challenge of the present times is spoken about in Psukim Dalet to Vav, and there's multiple ways of trying to read this. Let's work together and figure it out. Pasuk Dalet almost accuses Hashem and says to Hashem, but Hashem, pagata etzas v'oset tzedek bedrachecha yizkurucha. Hashem, you have eliminated, you have killed those who rejoice in doing the right thing and those who pray to you and who mention your name always. Hein, indeed, atakat safta v'nechete bahem olam v'nivasheha. Indeed, Hashem, you became angry because of our sins. And this is how Rashi reads the pasuk. So, because of our chataim, you killed the righteous people, but we were always relying on them to be saved. So, now, we're stuck in between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, our sins caused the death of the tzaddikim. On the other hand, we can't get out of this cycle of punishment because we have no tzaddikim to save us. The concept of tzaddikim, of righteous people, protecting a generation or protecting people from Hashem's punishments, is very foundational in Judaism. The Ramchal speaks about it in Derech Hashem. We know, even at the time of the Midbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu sends out spies to check out the land of Israel, one of the things he wants them to look for is to see if there is a tzaddik. He tells them, Hayesh ba'etz, go see if there is a tree being a tzaddik, like tzaddik katamar yifrach, who's going to protect his people. So here, returning to Hashem, we're saying, if you remove the tzaddikim, and we spoke previously about tzaddikim dying before their times, so they don't have to see the destruction of their generation, whatever it is, if we don't deserve the tzaddikim, then how are we going to come out of this? And so, Pasuk Hey, we turn to Hashem and we say, V'nehi katame kulanu, ukebeged idim kol tzidkasenu. We've become entirely impure. And all our righteousness is like a worn-out cloth. Or the way the Malbim reads it, he reads it as charming, actually. These are beautiful garments. And so, our actions adorn us. They make us look beautiful, but the inside were rotten to the core. Either way, Hashem, here we are standing full of sins, without tzaddikim, ve'en kore bishimcha, and nobody is calling out in your name, mit'orer lahachzik bach, and nobody is awakening themselves to grab hold of you and to cling to you. Ki histarta panecha mimenu, because you have hidden your face from us, v'tamogenu b'yad avonenu. And unlike previously where you made mountains melt in showing your godliness in the world, here we are melting because of our sins. And once again, the Radak reinforces here, there's nobody to daven for us. Hashem, we have no hope. We have no tzaddikim. We have no good deeds in our own right. And we're stuck, Hashem. What are we going to do? And this transitions to the third part of the perek. And the third part, according to the Mefarshim, is a tefillah. And it's a very beautiful tefillah, which we're going to take a look at now. And there'll be many of the images that we're going to read in this tefillah, which maybe you'll hear vibrations of in the Yom Kippur davening and the Rosh Hashanah davening as well. Pasuk Zayin says, Va'ata, and now Hashem, Avinu Ata, you're our Tati, you're our Abba. Anachnu hachomer va'ata yotzrenu. We are the clay, and you are the former. Uma'ase yadcha kulanu, and we are the work of your hands. What can we say, Hashem? You're our Tati, right? We spoke about that in the previous perek. So what's this imagery of the clay? The Radak says, clay is something which can get remodeled if it doesn't work. If you're busy making something out of clay and the vessel's not 100% what you like, you use your hands to remodel it into something better. So too, Hashem, make us what you need us to be, says the Radak. If you're not happy with us, then help us to change, because we can't do it on our own. And what a beautiful way to think of when we say, ki ata yotzrenu, right? Ki anu hachomer va'ata yotzrenu. This is what we're thinking about. Hashem, model us, make us. The way that the Malbim reads it is that clay creates a vessel. And what we're saying is, Hashem, we're a kli. We're a vessel for your goodness. We're nothing in our own right. All we can do is hold open our hands and ask Hashem to fill us up with his goodness. Pasuk Ches says, Al tiktsof Hashem ad ma'od. Don't be so angry with us. Va'alla ad tiskor avon. And don't remember our sins forever. Hein habetna amcha kulanu. Look at us. Can't you remember that we are your people? And the Abarbanel points out that what we're saying here is, Amcha kulanu, we're still your people. We didn't assimilate. Anyone else would have assimilated by now, would have given up, would have rid themselves of their Jewish identity, but we're still holding on. And the next two psukim, Pasuk Tes and Yod, focus on the Churban of Yerushalayim, the destruction of Jerusalem. And the Malbim says the reason why we bring up Yerushalayim here is because that's the reason why we're so far away from you, Hashem. Don't you see that if we could be home in Yerushalayim, in our own land, and have the Beis HaMikdash, it would reignite an awakening, a connection, a closeness to you, Hashem. And maybe it's this that's another cause of the distance. It's not just the fact that we don't have Tzaddikim to daven for us. We also don't have Yerushalayim to be our link to connect to you. Pasuk Tes, Arei Kodshecha Hayu Midbar. Your holy cities have become like a desert. Tzion Midbar Hayata, Yerushalayim Shmema. Tzion is a desert, Jerusalem is desolate. Beit Kodshenu V'Tifartenu, our holy temple, our pride. Asher Hililucha Avosenu, Hayalis Srefas Esh, which was the praise of all of our forefathers, has become consumed by fire. V'chol Machamidenu Haya Lacharabah, and all of the things that we hold so precious to us have become ruins. And the perek ends with a question. We turn to Hashem and we say, Hashem, remember the miracles of the past. Remember the Barad. Remember Matar Sinai. Remember the crazy things that you did with fire and water. And then look at us where we stand. We don't even have tzaddikim to represent us. We're such a mess. So Hashem, you have to help us. You have to help us because we are just clay in your hands and you are our tati. And Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Ha'al ele hitapek Hashem. Are you going to keep quiet for all of this? Or will you restrain yourself for all of this? Techeshe v'ta'anenu ad ma'od. Hashem, will you be silent and let us suffer so much? And the word ta'anenu from the word inoi means suffering. Hashem, you're going to let us continue to suffer? Alternatively, the Malbim reads ta'anenu from the word la'anot, which means to answer. And he reads it in such a bitter way. So essentially what he's saying is, Hashem, your silence is an answer. The fact that you're being silent is answer enough. It tells us that you don't care. It tells us that we're so far away from you that there's nothing more to say. That God, if you have nothing to say to us, well then there's no reason to continue. And so this perek, which ironically is in the middle of the section of Nechama, but as I said, not every part of the Nechama is Tochacha, not every part of the Tochacha is Nechama. But this leaves us really on a cliffhanger. If the whole of Sefer Yeshayahu is Kulo Nechimta, the whole book is Nechama. So we ask ourselves, what kind of comfort do we have in a world, as we describe in Perek Samach Daleth? And so we have to remember that not every chapter in Jewish history is clear-cut, and not every chapter in Jewish history gives us clear answers and clear nechama and clear comfort. But Perek Samach Hei is going to be the answer that Hashem gives us. So we end this with Ha'al Ele Hitapek Hashem. Really, Hashem? You got nothing to say? And then Perek Samach Hei is going to answer where Hashem says, no, I do have what to say. And that's what we're going to deal with tomorrow. Thank you for learning together with me today. L'refua Shalema Yonina Sima Bas Daphna Hinda. Jennifer Hayekara Shelanu, Ulepitsue Tzahal, Achenu Hayekarim, Betoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina Vachayim Shenka.